Greetings again. I like to be close to you. Open with me, please, your Bibles to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. It is a privilege and an honor to be with you this morning. As we go to the Word of God this morning, I want to invite you, if you would please, participate with me in proclaiming the gospel. In doing so, what I mean by that is every once in a while I will say, and all God's people said. And I would like for you to raise your hand and say, here am I. Send me. Let's practice. And all God's people said,
here am I. Send me.
Oh, excellent. Perfect. Perfect. Amen. We're preaching the good news of the kingdom to one another this morning as we do so. So as we visit this short passage in Matthew 9, it is a passage that is about missions. It's at the beginning of Jesus' short teaching to his disciples concerning mission, purpose, sending them out. Okay? And we can take from this some encouraging news because our Lord's perspective is always, at least for me, it's always so radically different than my own. And it's just so healthy to be cleansed and be changed by his perspective of this world. I'm oftentimes so at the other extreme, unfortunately. So as we do, let's read this passage together. And I'm reading from the NIV here. These short few verses out of Matthew chapter 9. It says that Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." And all God's people said, let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you that you're our King this morning. And that you're a good, righteous, holy, compassionate, loving King who has extended much grace and mercy to each of us and to us corporately. Now speak to us this morning, we pray, through your word. Reform us and revive us that we might walk in your ways only by grace alone. And all God's people said, very good. You're doing excellent. Excellent. Let's return to verse 35 and read that again. It says that Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. This is basically a summary report concerning Jesus' work. He had been healing people who were sick, teaching in their synagogues, teaching the good news. And in fact, we could pick from any of these summary stories the nature of his work. But for us, I just want us to take a minute and capture what Jesus was doing. And by the way, if this was a report card Matthew's giving on Jesus, what grade do you think Jesus would have got? Very good. Very good. You guys are tracking quite well. Yes, Jesus would have, of course, received an A+ because his ministry was a ministry of mercy in both word and deed. And he did it well. He did it very, very well. And one of those examples where we see that he did it very well is Matthew, the tax collector. This is found just a few verses earlier in Matthew chapter 9. Matthew's profession was what? A tax collector. Okay? I want you to know, a tax collector in those days wasn't one of a, shall we say, high liking. I guess I would liken it somewhat to some of the people who have, there's been people, actually this guy, this farmer, he bought this pharmaceutical company, and he raised the prices radically of the product, okay? That type of view of a tax collector. See, he would, you know, gather revenue for Caesar, right? He would collect revenue from people and say, $1 for me and $1 for Caesar, you know? And, you know, oh, you need a dollar for Caesar and this time, $2 for me, you know? This is the nature of a tax collector, okay? That's why in the passage in Matthew 9, it associates a tax collector with who? Sinners? Say sinners. Yeah, sinners. They were not of high regard, okay? And it happens that Jesus himself goes to Matthew and calls Matthew and says, come and follow me. And so Jesus, who's ushering in this kingdom of God, amen, he's bringing the rule and active reign of God into the situation. He calls Matthew, formerly a greedy man, I guess we could say. And what does he do to Matthew? Does he transform him? He calls Matthew into his ministry. Come and follow me. Matthew receives. We know that because he followed Jesus. He receives that ministry of mercy, and he was transformed. And then we see immediately in the following chapter, in Matthew 10, Matthew's one of the ones who are actually being sent out to share the gospel. Formerly someone who was, it was all about Matthew, is now being called to follow Jesus, transformed by receiving that message of mercy, and now he's immediately, in Matthew 10, he's sent out along with the disciples to share in other towns the good news concerning the coming of the king. Amen? And then a few chapters later, when Jesus is actually in word and deed sharing the gospel with food, feeding 5,000, guess who's out there passing the basket? Who was one of those people? It was Matthew, the one who used to be greedy, only serving himself. He's now doing what? He's serving others. He's serving others. So Matthew receives this grace and mercy. Do you have that picture? This is my favorite picture. How many of you were here last year when I was here? Well, not many. Wow, lots of new faces. Great. Okay, this is my favorite picture of the gospel. Okay, this is a picture of the prodigal son's return home. Okay? He has received the ministry of Jesus' mercy. Are you with me? Huh? He's received mercy. But Jesus, when he comes and he becomes our king, we don't stay there. Once we receive mercy, he also calls us to do what with it? Give mercy. It's kind of like breathing. Kind of like breathing. You take it in and you give it out. That's healthy. That's healthy. That's what the reigning King Jesus intends for all of us to learn to do corporately and to learn to do it even as individuals. Receiving mercy and learning to give it and doing it again, receiving more mercy and learning to give it. And when we give it, we don't give it merely just in word. We learn to give it both word and deed. You see, word and deed are inseparable with the Lord. We need to be careful to make sure we don't separate word and deed as we carry out this kingship of Jesus or ministry of mercy or this message of salvation, whatever term you would like to use. As we carry out this call to share it with others, we must share it in both word and in deed. Jesus used, he transformed Matthew, who was a greedy man. That's what it looks like when he becomes king over a greedy man. He's changed. Okay? What if you were a thief? What might it look like if you received Jesus' ministry of mercy? What if you were a thief? What would it look like after you receive mercy? You know? Yeah. Let's look at Ephesians 4:28. One verse there. It's a great little verse. I love it. This is what Paul says in 4:28. He says, "He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands." For what purpose, Paul? What purpose? "That he may have something to share with those in need." Amen? I want you to see, we receive the mercy, we are transformed by it, and then we are called immediately to give. To give. Now, what does that rule and reign of God's mercy look like in St. Louis in 2018? What does it look like? Let me share a little bit with you what it looks like for me. You see, this year, some months ago, the Holy Spirit began to convict me. I love to receive mercy. Anybody with me? I love receiving mercy. But there's some wires loose somewhere with me. And when it comes to giving mercy, something's broken. Are you with me? Something doesn't always work so well. I love receiving that mercy. But when it comes to actually giving it, something's broken. And so the Holy Spirit this year began to convict me. And through the word began saying, "Jeff, why are you being such a private Christian?" A private Christian. You know what a private Christian does? A private Christian gets up and goes to work. Does his work. Doesn't talk to his neighbors about the Lord at all, but does his work sometimes. And, I have to come back. You know, I have a tendency to drift. But I do my work, and I come home. You know what? I got this sunroom in my home, and I love just coming home, and, yeah, life's good. And that's how Jeff can tend to live. And the Holy Spirit's been convicting me and saying, "I want you to be public about your faith. I have been good to you, Jeff. I have loved you well. And I think there's something broken." And he began convicting me. "Oh, you like to receive it, but you ain't getting it because I'm giving it to you so that you can give it away." And so he began convicting me. "Oh, Lord, I'm confessing. I'm in process and learning to, okay, Lord, teach me. I don't know what I'm doing. I want to address this issue." And so I began trying to pray for other people, began looking for opportunities to share my faith, to put a public face on. And I even, you know, I go to the Justice Center some Fridays and get to preach the gospel, you know, and I love doing that. I love preaching the gospel, and oh, it's so good to preach the gospel with my brothers there because they know their need. You don't have to try to convince them and persuade them of need. They know their need, and I'm able to, you know, Jesus came for the sick, Jesus came for the lost, Jesus came for the blind, and we all can say, amen, that's me, that's me, that's me. And, well, we have a good time together. And then I go home and I become a private Christian again. And so the Lord's been convicting me. And then I get this email from Jim Ward at New City. And he says, hey, Jeff, you want to teach a class this fall semester? And I was like, ooh. Lord, did you set me up? Yeah, I guess I do. And so, I'm teaching a class on, guess what? Mercy and evangelism. I'm teaching a class on evangelism. Now, we all should be laughing. Because, I mean, that would be like asking me to teach a class on how to use a computer. And not a good outcome. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm doing. But I do know God's been good to me. I do know He's at work in this world. I do know He cares and loves and He changes lives. I do know that. And I can share that with somebody. I can do that. And so I'm learning, and others are making the journey with me and learning how to share our faith, learning how to be public about our faith. And so, I have a question for you. If the Lord were to give you a report card on extending grace and mercy to others, what would be on your report card? What would be on your report card? Think about it, and when you think about it, let's categorize it. What would be on your report card for Word? Are you sharing the good news of the Lord's grace with others? Are you being public about your faith? Okay? And then ask yourselves, deeds. What's happening, deeds? Does your words align itself with your deeds? Are you showing mercy to others? It's costly to show mercy. You know that. I mean, I recently got a call for someone and they were asking for me to show them some mercy. And I was like, you know, I'm going to sit in my room and, you know, be a private Christian, you know, and get this call. And my flesh just wants to pull back. How about you? Do you have a flesh like that? How about corporately? How are we doing corporately as New City South? How are we doing? Do our neighbors right here, the neighbors right here, what do they understand about New City South? What do they think that's going on in here on Sundays and other days? Are they just a bunch of self-righteous folks? Are they holy rollers? Just what's going on in there? Do our neighbors know who we are? Do they know of our Savior who's full of grace and mercy? Have we shared it with them? What would be New City South grade card summary report? What would it be? Maybe we would get an A or a B for receiving mercy, huh? But what would it be for us in extending mercy? what would it be? What would it be? I'll let the Lord complete that. We need to move on to the next verse. Verse 36, Matthew 9. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. And the Greek there really conveys, his heart went out to them. He was moved. He had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like a sheep without a shepherd. Does our heart go out when people cross our paths? What do we see? What do we see? When I see people, I'll be honest with you, I'm full of Jeff. I see people and I'm thinking about who? I'm thinking about me. That's who I'm thinking about. But for Jesus, Jesus looks out over the crowd. His heart goes out to them. He understands that they are lost. They are lost in their sin. They do not have a shepherd to lead and guide them to the mercy and grace that can be theirs. And he's moved by that. He's moved by their harassment. He's moved by their helplessness. What do you see when the crowds cross your path? What do you see? What's in your heart? Unconcerned, apathetic indifference, detachment, are you with me? Lord Jesus, change Jeff McGee. I need heart surgery. I need a new heart, Lord God, so that when I see the crowds, I'm your disciple. I'm not my own. Help me when I see the crowds, that my heart too, like yours, will go out to them, that I might be compelled in both word and in deed to show mercy, to show mercy, to engage, not to be detached. I mean, again, I don't have to do any effort. My first reaction is always self-protection. I don't have to, it's just there. Okay, let's acknowledge it. Let's acknowledge it and just simply say, Lord Jesus, I don't have such a heart. I need you to work that in me as my master, as my king. I belong to you. I am not my own. Would you work that type of heart into me? Would you put it in me? And all God's people. Amen. Here am I. Send me. With all the cold, dead-heartedness that can be there. It's us that he wants to send. Do you understand? There's no plan B. You understand? It's us. Okay? And he ain't turning back. He didn't call somebody else. It's us that he's called. Amen? Lord, help us. You feel that differential? I do. Lord, I need heart work. I need grace work. I need mercy work. Put that heart in me. And indeed, that's what he has been doing. It's what he is doing. And it's what he's committed to do in the future. Individually, but also, this is something we got to learn corporately. Amen? We're immature in these things, aren't we? That's the truth. We're very immature. We have a lot to learn. But guess what? We have someone who's committed to growing us up. Amen? Oh, we're in the right place then. This is good. And because it's of grace, you don't have to hide and try to pretend like that's not the case. It's from grace from first to last. That means we're free to acknowledge the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Because it's all of grace, we can acknowledge that. What freedom, what joy that we can honestly, openly walk before the Lord our God and have him transform us, receiving mercy. Struggling, yes, but also learning to give that mercy. This is the best place to be. Amen? And then, verses 37 and 38. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful." I could just stop right there and just kind of laugh. What does he see that I don't see? Okay, Lord. Okay. The wrong assessment. Something's wrong again. I teach me to see what you see, Lord. I don't know. I don't always see it. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Wow. Amen. Now, so you're going to be praying on Friday night? Okay? Make it a kingdom prayer. You're not praying. You don't want just a pastor. You want the Lord to lead you into mercy ministry, amen? You want to be led into this community. You want to be led into seeing the community transformed. Learning to see our neighbors touched and impacted by the same Lord who's impacted us, amen? And so we want, yes, you need a shepherd. Yes, but we're not here. We're not here for ourselves. We're here because we've been dispatched. We are a people with a mission and a purpose. We're here to see our community impacted by the love and mercy of God. So when you cry out and ask for a pastor, you want to also ask for a transformed community. You want to ask, Lord God, send forth the workers. Raise up laborers for tutoring, for workday. Raise up the laborers. And all God's people said, oh, it's getting weaker. And all God's people said, here am I, send me. Yes. Yes, it's us. It's us that he has called. It is us that he has dispatched. We are his special agents. Kingdom agents dispatched all over St. Louis. And so there's opportunity at every person who crosses our path. It's opportunity. There's a lot of them out there. Amen. And God is committed to sending you and I to tell them, to show them, to demonstrate that our God is a God of mercy. Our God has a heart for people in hurting human conditions. God Himself is moved. He is not apathetic and indifferent like you and I can be. That's not who He is. That's why He, when He sees someone who's blind, He opens up eyes. When someone is lame, He heals them. God is concerned for the human condition. And so also His people. Amen? He's concerned. And as He's called you, as He's extended His grace and mercy to you, He's also deploying you. How does Jesus Christ reach someone in St. Louis in 2018? How does He do it? And all God's people said, that's exactly how Jesus comes into St. Louis in 2018. Through you and I. Utterly amazing. I understand. Does your hand hang limp when you think about it? Mine does. I'm a coward by nature. But once that Spirit flows in us, oh, we're changed. He will and has empowered us. We have a mission to do. It's going to get done. And guess what? Since we are who we are, as it gets done and when it gets done, it's going to be so obvious. It wasn't us. And neither was it the disciples who followed Him. Are you with me? We know that because on the night Jesus was betrayed, that's who He called. He called these guys who were going to betray Him. That's who He called. Look how far it's reached. Are you with me? Thousands of miles away. 2,000 years apart. Look how far it's reached. And He's not finished yet. Amen? Let's form a circle and prepare to receive the Lord's Supper.